Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Well, that was a spicy interview there. John Moody joined us. He was the previously the chief executive officer of News Corp. Interesting dude. He also served as the executive director and executive vice president of Fox News. So there you go, rubbing elbows with the mass media cartel former people here. His new book is out. You can check that out if you're interested. It's called The World We Wish. He has definitely taken the concepts of what we're seeing here in America. And well, he's talking about the similarities, what's going on in China. But yeah, you know, I'm more concerned about why it is America is forming governmental boards to accomplish some of the same big data things, the same track and trace things, the same surveillance things that we get, that we see out of China. You know, gosh, never mind your social credit score. Geez, if they've got everything on you, what are they going to do with it? What are the plans here? Are we going to do pre-crime? Are we going to do pre-illness health? Are we going to be rounding people up with, you know, AI-driven red flags? I don't know. I don't like the sound of it, but yeah, you know, it's all up to us to figure out how that all works in, I suppose. But here in hour three, we're going to be joined in this third and final hour by NY Patriot. What's up, man? And we'll be looking and talking about the new normal York from his perspective and maybe get into some weird, wild exo news. I don't know. But to get us started here, here's a headline for you. A look inside a NYC woman's 80 square foot, $650 per month apartment. This itty-bitty Manhattan apartment has gone viral for being so dang small, but for now, it's saving one local lots of money each month. Quote, today, we tour the smallest apartment in New York City at 80 square feet, which is the size of a parking spot, reads the caption on YouTuber Caleb Simpson's video tour of Elena Randazzo's Midtown home. Since posting this on September 13, the roughly six-minute clip has racked up more than 1.5 million views. At $650 per month, the apartment is a steal for its location, but it comes at the high price of not having its own bathroom. Randazzo, who works in fashion, makes do with just a sink in her own unit and shares the shower and toilet down the hall with other building tenants. This setup is what's known as a single room occupancy, or SRO, officially defined as a unit with one or two rooms that either lacks a complete kitchen and or bathroom or shares them with other units. The living situation is legendarily compact and affordable and has a long history in NYC, where the housing type used to be much more commonplace. She said, I love to do the unexpected. I've always been one to try unique situations first. This 25-year-old Randazzo told the Post, explore the world first, pay rent later. And what's more, the place doesn't even have its own oven. But don't worry, Randazzo's kitchenette has a two-burner stove and a sink, both sitting on top a mini fridge and a small cabinet for storage. A bit of a lack of a place to store ingredients there, perhaps. Probably relying on the street vendors quite often here. So, viewers were stunned at this video tour. And in the comments, people wrote, it literally is a walk-in closet. But she utilized her space extremely well. Another person posted, my claustrophobia and anxiety could never. Still, the SRO offered a welcome, and this is the rub right here, everybody. This SRO offered a welcome $2,600 monthly rent reprieve from her former home in a luxury high rise. So, yeah, she was paying over $3,100 basically to live in the same area in a luxury high rise. So that is, $2,000 a month saving, $2,600 a month saving. So when she signed the lease for that tiny unit, she said she's been debating moving back to Los Angeles, but decided to take the gamble on the closet size unit so she could travel and not have to worry about a lot of rent. So this may work out great for a student, for a 25-year-old looking to save money, willing to live in a parking space size, closet sized abode for $650 a month. Absolutely amazing. Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. Be sure and throw us a like on there and on the YouTube and subscribe. Do that for us, would you? We got you covered on TNT Radio.
Stream the news wherever you are.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. My next guest is an ex-secret society member, and he covers a vast array of topics, including politics. He can be found at the Occult Rejects YouTube channel, as well as on social media under NY Patriot. Find his link tree on all his social media sites and the Occult Rejects YouTube page. That would be, if you're familiar with the way Linktree links works, that's Linktree/ the Occult Rejects for all of the relevant links to follow NY Patriot. NY Patriot, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining. So what's new in the new normal York, man?
Expensive rent and horrible drinking water.
Oh, sounds great. So I'm heading on over, man. Get me out of Texas. That sounds wonderful.
And it's so funny how, like, weeks before they had Eric Adams doing, like, commercials on drinking the tap water, and then they start finding out that projects have arsenic in it. It's like, what? Can you get any more ridiculous?
Arsenic in the water. Yeah, that sounds great, man.
Yeah, right?
Arsenic. Try the arsenic. It's great today.
And, yeah, you know, it's in the project, so, you know, of course, you know. It's like, what's, you know.
Oh, yeah,
it's
right.
Also in the project as well, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So what? Okay, first of all, what's going on with the rent? And we'll get to the arsenic in a moment here. But I saw another video that went semi-viral about a month ago, and it was an open house, whatever, for a rental. I think it was a rental. Maybe it was for purchase. I don't know if it matters, but it was an apartment in Manhattan, and the person taking the video, they started at the end of a line outside of the apartment, and they just, you know, took their phone all the way up to the apartment door and then walked up the stairs because it was a second level apartment. And I swear there must have been 50 people in line to put an offer on it or put in a rental agreement or whatever. I'd never seen anything like it. I don't know who would walk up to look at a place and say, oh, I have to wait an hour outside of this place to maybe get to be the one that gets to rent or purchase it. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. I think, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like almost like I started thinking at one point, it's like, if you take a look at the city, you have these skyrise buildings, these gigantic buildings with a ridiculous amount of rent to live in those things. Ridiculous. And somehow people have been brainwashed to think that that is like something cool to brag about or a status that, yeah, I get a closet and I pay, you know, a few thousand dollars a month for it in Manhattan. Like, it's almost like this wouldn't exist if people weren't brainwashed into thinking that those prices are okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you actually literally making people pay a ridiculous amount of money to be tossing yourself in something the size of a jail cell? You know, it's like really right. Wild when you think about it. People want to complain about how much it costs to live out there, but if people weren't willing to pay the amount of money and started saying, no, I think I'll just pass, eventually people will have to lower prices on stuff.
Yeah, totally. And I hear that right now, property is sort of plateaued. It was like pretty much most of this year, it was just, I mean, there people were selling houses out here in Texas without even showing them. It was crazy. They were having bidding wars on houses just based on the internet posts for them. And now all of a sudden, it seems to have leveled out a little bit, and all of a sudden things are sitting on the market. So I wonder, but you know, that's like you said, you're saying, well, we wouldn't have been in that problem if people weren't clamoring to sign up for, you know, putting more than, I don't know, what's the recommended amount of your income you're supposed to put into your mortgage or your rent? It's like 20%, 30%, something like that. I don't think anybody's following that on the left or the right coast anymore. Yeah, totally impossible.
I would guarantee most people's find money, it. Probably 50% of, if not more, is probably going into rent, actually, or mortgage, you know?
Yeah. I'm hearing especially similar reports. Yeah, New York and California right now. I'm hearing similar stuff out of California, too. I mean, just ridiculous. People, you know, like Silicon Valley executives living in their car or like doing house shares with other families and stuff just to be able to afford it. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I have a relative that got a like a condo, I think, like a condo in the Bay Area, and it was like $2 million or something like that. And it's like the size of my garage out here in Texas.
Really?
Yeah, it's just bananas. Bananas. I mean, that's what like, people are willing to spend.
That's another thing. Like, I'm eventually, probably within a year or two, going to actually get something, you know, own something. New York wasn't even a thought. I'm moving for this. Yeah. Because anything pretty much out of the tri-state area, if I go down a few states a little bit farther away, I could almost double what I would get here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would get twice the amount of room. You know, it would look like I'm balling. What you would get here for like $400,000 or $500,000 would look like you're rich in other states.
Right? Yeah, we were just looking at property in Oklahoma a couple weeks back, and even like a state like Oklahoma makes Texas look like everything is overcharged now. You know, you go to Oklahoma, Alabama, Tennessee, parts of Georgia, you know, there's just all these places now where a lot of people don't think to move. And I think that's maybe part of it. Like people from New York and California, when we think about moving, we think about, well, where can I get twice for my money yet not experience culture shock, you know? So people look at like Arizona, Oregon, Montana, Texas, Florida, but all those places have just, you know, skyrocketed in property value now. And, you know, inflation's happening there too. So groceries are going up everywhere. So I don't know how to feel about that, man. Like we came to Texas back in 2015, kind of, you know, in lieu of all these things that we saw coming, many of which have come to pass now. And now Texas is starting to feel, you know, Texas and Florida seem to be the two states that are, you know, people are flocking to, and all of a sudden it's starting to get expensive here, starting to get, you know, starting to get in lines here and get in bidding wars and stuff. So I don't know. I'm afraid some of the other states are going to start getting the spillover of people like you and I.
Mm. No, I agree with that. I'm even like worried about like, as bad as it sounds, like myself that I'm like leaving, I'm gonna start going, may I end up moving? Like the thing is, I had even told my wife, when we decide to move, we're gonna unfortunately probably gonna have to rent still an apartment somewhere, because I don't want to find out that I basically left a place, because you know, the people that I'm actually trying to get away from, or the type of world I'm trying to get away from, is kind of leaving New York in itself also, and then taking that and going to where they're going. So do I have to worry about leaving New York and going somewhere that's just going to end up being the same thing as well, unfortunately?
Yeah, no, you're smart. You're smart. I'm sure your wife can appreciate that line of thought. And I can underline that, because, you know, we moved out here to Central Texas, and we said, you know, we don't want to be in one of the cities. Everyone's already, even in back in 2015, it was like, you get off the plane in Austin and you go to the nearest watering hole, you know, go to the nearest bar, introduce yourself to everybody sitting there. And, you know, 5/8 of them are from California. And it's like, what the hell? I just left California and I get here to Austin and everybody's from California. So we moved, you know, like an hour north. So we're kind of like in that central Texas zone between Dallas and Austin. And when we first got here, it was the kind of town where, you know, I show up in my Trans Am with California plates and, you know, people are giving me looks like, oh, you ain't from around here, are you? They don't even need to see my plates. They just look at my face and go, man, you ain't from around here, are you? No one says that anymore, because now this town that was once really easy to spot a Californian in is full of them. It's completely full of them. I see people with blue hair walking around. I see the, you know, just the giant change has happened here in just the, you know, 7 years that I've lived here. So you do have to kind of be careful of that. And you actually also kind of have to project forward a little bit and look at what the inbound trends are for whatever town you're considering becoming a refugee in. I got to go to a quick station break here, NY Patriot. I'm with NY Patriot, everybody, from the Occult Rejects. You're going to want to check out his streams. They're excellent and very fun to watch. And you might even catch me on one of them coming up in a couple weeks here. So get on over there and subscribe. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with the NY Patriot on TNT.
You should hear what Jesse Zurawell is talking about.
In addition to calling up 300,000 reservists, which does not include conscripts or university students, Putin has made some what could be described as inflammatory statements, if I can use that cliche, regarding the possible use of nuclear weapons.
In Russian language media, I mean, especially among hardliners, like people who really support the special operation, they're saying this is really, really bad because, first of all, territorial gains aside, what basically has happened is that Russia took control of territory, and then those Ukrainians who wanted to cooperate with Russia and consider themselves Russian, if the idea here was that Russia was going to go into Ukraine to protect ethnic Russians, to guarantee that, you know, Ukrainians can speak Russian and live in harmony and peace with Russia, the problem is that all these territories that Russia goes into, they're not guaranteeing that they're staying, you know? And sometimes, in some cases, they say like, oh yeah, we're here forever. And then, you know, a month later, they leave. How can you do this? It's so self-defeating, and it makes cooperation or welcoming the Russian military as liberators impossible. It's like a death sentence.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
That's right. Stay locked. Stay locked over here at today's News Talk, tntradio.live. That's where you find us on the interwebs. And I know you're on those interwebs. They're stuck on that phone in your pocket. They're on that tablet. They're on that laptop. They're on that desktop. So get on over there, tntradio.live. We also have a great mobile app. Highly recommend the mobile app. As you know, if you're a regular listener, and if you're a new listener, thank you for checking us out. And my current guest is one of my regulars, one of my favorite people over here, NY Patriot. We're talking about the current state of New York. You know, man, your state was just one of the epicenters of all of the worst things that happened during COVID too. You know, one of my colleagues over here, Joseph Arthur, you should check him out if you haven't yet. I'll have to introduce you. You guys would probably get along pretty well. But he's a New Yorker. He left New York during COVID because it just got to be too much. It was just too stupid. You know what I mean? He couldn't go out and get a sandwich anymore. He couldn't go to any of his favorite record stores. Everybody's, you know, wanting vaccine passports and QR codes, all this stupid crap. You had, I picked on New York quite a bit when they reopened Broadway and Bruce Springsteen came out and did what he did, you know, that whole thing. So what are you noticing that the giant exodus? Do you know a lot of people that have left, or are people sort of lulled back into that, you know, Big Apple sense of normalcy bias now that things are a little different? What's the current state of affairs and the public zeitgeist with regard to COVID overreach?
I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately with New York, you know, and this is even like a thing that I try to point out. Now, I don't know if it was in other major big cities or maybe liberal cities. I don't know. Before we ever had these mask mandates, people walking around with those masks or fashionable ones was not unusual already. For whatever reason, I don't want to get into that, but there was a lot of people here that I might have came from somewhere else and was already bred into believing that if they breathe the air, they may die. So for me, where I was, it was not a shock for the masks to be starting to be worn by everybody. The mandate was a little much. And I think, unfortunately, even though the mandate has come off, because it was already somewhat socially acceptable visually, that was another reason why it was so easy for everybody to just push it, because, you know, they just went along with the science. And like what I'm getting at is like now I don't ever think we'll ever go back to a fully normal, even if they take everything down, because I think there'll be some people now that have found some sort of identity with that thing on their face, like the people did prior that wore it fashionably. I mean, there was kids I knew that went to school that wore these things with, like, you know, Pikachu on it, or, you know, some Japanimation. You know, it was like some fashionable thing. So it's like, you know, now it's like, oh, I guess I was ahead of the time. And I, you know, you just run with these things. And I just don't think, unfortunately, when it comes to that, I think you will have people, in my opinion, that I'm like, unless, like, somehow, like, everything on the media starts telling you that maybe this whole thing was silly and ridiculous and we took it too far, I honestly think there will be people who will probably wear it every so often for the rest of their life now.
Yeah, well, you know, hypochondria, forgive me if I'm misspeaking here, everybody, I'm not a doctor, but in my estimation, hypochondria is a form of obsessive compulsive disorder. It's an OCD. And we've already had so many people in this country, man, who have the various OCDs. And, you know, I have a lot of empathy for those people, regardless of what their particular OCD is. And I feel like it was so just like a human atrocity, basically, to start a global fear campaign over germs, you know, regardless of how dangerous this thing was or wasn't. I just feel like it was so awful. And now it's kind of pale in comparison when you look at the vaccine campaign. But I felt like it was so awful to just push people, use the media to force people to lean into hypochondria or lean into OCD if they didn't have it. You know, a lot of people leaned into it that didn't have it before all that. But then there were all these people that already did have it, you know, and a lot of those people, like you mentioned, that were already wearing masks. There's a cultural thing there that's been argued sort of incorrectly a lot of times. Like, people talk about Japan and whatnot. I used to travel to Hawaii, and I was in Honolulu quite often. And I would notice the Asian tourists, they would have the ships come in with the Asian tourists, and many of them would be wearing surgical masks. And I looked into it at the time, and, you know, they had already been through something like the COVID experience with SARS, for one. And for two, many of them believe that that will help them with their seasonal allergies. And they simply wear those often because they don't want to get, you know, struck with seasonal allergies. They think it helps with that. So you're right there. You know, when I think, now that you mention it, when I think back to my experience in Hawaii, I had culture shock the first time I was there, seeing that many people in masks, because coming from California, I'd never seen it. But then I got used to it after, you know, 5-6 summers there in a row. And but yeah, I definitely can feel that. And then there's the whole fashion thing, like you're talking about, you know, the young kids that watch all anime where, you know, all the cool characters have some sort of face mask or whatever. But yeah, man, really, really weird the way this has all gone. And how trivial that seems now that we see all the adverse effects from the gene therapy shots.
You know, I even wanted, and even looking back, not to get so much off the mask thing, but even looking at what I have noticed in the last 2 years, and I'm like, this has to be all by design, and it has to be the biggest mental mind, you know, whatever. Can't curse, but yeah, you know, it's a mental mind, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we know what you mean. Skull plug.
Yeah, we can look at, all right, our last mayor really didn't like the police. He didn't have much good to say about him for the most part. It was, you know, very, very progressive, you know, on the left. And somehow we have now taken in a mayor that, in my opinion, this is what I think is the greatest thing about it. He's very arrogant. He's always talking about himself. And he has literally come out and said, if your mayor's got swagger, your city's got swagger. I mean, this guy has said that. He has, you know, and he's very pro-police. Very pro-police because he used to be in it. Totally pro-police. They basically, if you were to close your eyes and maybe not know whose voice is whose, but listen to clips from the same person, you will realize you actually just voted in a black Donald Trump as your mayor from a dude that used to be white and hated the police. You have now somehow accepted somebody who's pro-police, wants to put more out there, rounding up homeless people, doing all sorts of weird stuff. Somehow you've accepted that. And it's just like so mind-blowing how we went from one side to the next, just with the left. So, you know, and now we got him pushing people to go back to work. It's just very weird, like, to go back to the office, get out of your house. It just seems like right now, even with it's just New York is like such a mess. Like, I don't think that people actually realize what's going on. Like, you literally had the person, the same type of personality you have been yelling about for the last 4 years. He's arrogant. He's too much this, too much law, too much this. Oh, he hangs out with rich people. Same thing they're complaining about with Eric Adams. They're worried about what he's doing in his nightlife if he's at a club to take pictures of. You were literally same type of style that you were just complaining about and someone that you just voted in on the left. Like, what? How does this happen?
Amazing, amazing. They say you can't have it both ways, but I guess you can, as long as you can take the personality and the platform and stick it in a different flesh-toned meat suit or something. I got to take a quick break here in the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back, everybody. I got New York Patriot here with me on the Brian McLean Show on Today's News Talk.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The number of Catholics has eclipsed the number of Protestants in sectarian Northern Ireland, a shift that may impact Brexit tensions between the UK and EU. A mainstream German newspaper has revealed the German federal state is operating hundreds of fake far-right social media accounts online. French President Emmanuel Macron claims that Russian foreign policy regarding Ukraine is dictated by the whims of President Vladimir Putin rather than rational thinking.
If you miss your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT Radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. Fake right-wing websites. Did you hear that? Fake right-wing accounts. I'm trying to figure this out, everybody. I actually got a special guest coming up next week where we're going to take a deep dive on this. Is there even such a thing as a right-wing government right now? Is there even such a thing as any sort of effective voting bloc of right-wing extremists or so-called MAGA Republicans? Was Charlottesville even what they told us it was? Was J6 even what they told us it was? And if it was, do the opinions of people like that even have any effect on this world that we live in right now? And is there, where is this right-wing government that these people look up to supposedly? I guess we've got Brazil and we've got Hungary. Those are the only two I've come up with so far. There's a lot of countries in the world and I am no genius, so I'm sure I'm missing a couple. But yeah, I just had a comment on that and kind of tune people up for next week when the Truth Hound is going to join me. We're going to take a bit of a deeper dive on that in the wake of the blood red rant of the sleepy let's go Brandon President Biden. Because I think that this whole thing really needs to be just sort of like recontextualized, and we need to start asking ourselves the wider picture here, the nonpartisan picture, which is this really a threat? And if it is not, because I think it's hard to demonstrate that it's a threat without using PR traps that were set up by NGOs and the mainstream media, well, then why is our government constantly pushing this idea where the sun doesn't shine up each and every one of our, you know, what's just beer bonging it right into our third eye 24/7, you know, it's just like, it's soul crushing and I'm sick of it. If it's real, show it to me in a way that makes sense instead of just letting, you know, making it be so transparent that, that me and NY Patriot can just sit here and, just take the piss out of the entire narrative in, what was that, 2 minutes since the break ended?
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Man. I love how
I'm so sick of this, man. It's so stupid. We have so many threats right now. We have freaking our power grid's going to go down because they're going to do this green stuff on us. Our finances are going to go down. They're going to tell us that's because of COVID and because of Russia. Everything is someone else's fault. Everything is our own fault. And they want us focused on this concept. They want us focused on the fact that we're going to have a civil war with this non-existent group of people. And what they're trying to do is they're trying, and this is what I'm afraid of, man. I'm afraid that they're trying to force radicalize everybody, because I don't think classical liberals realize that they're talking about them when they say MAGA Republicans or MAGA extremists. This is sort of my new message that I'm finally finding a way to verbalize. When they're talking about MAGA extremists and putting memos out from three-letter agencies and having the president talk down to these so-called MAGA extremists and say that they're the biggest threat to this country, they're talking about classic liberals, right? Because what this country wants is war, and classic liberals are traditionally anti-war. So if you're a classic liberal, guess what? You're a MAGA extremist. If you're an independent and you don't like war, you like free market, guess what? You're a MAGA extremist. If you're center left, center right, guess what? You're a MAGA extremist. If you're a libertarian, you're a MAGA extremist. If you're a conservative, obviously, if you're a MAGA extremist. If you're an actual MAGA extremist, you're probably a fucking Fed boy. Crap, I did it.
Yeah, no, I would even, I would agree with that. I even think, I mean, wouldn't it just make sense if you wanted to do something crazy and try to do it for a political reason, you'd probably just say you're from the other side? I mean, to me, that makes sense. But like, even if you think about it, if you want to get like real technical, I mean, I don't know if they're saying a far right MAGA extremists, but that technically would almost be an oxymoron. Because if you think about it, if you even want to take what MAGA believes in or Trump, that's already actually indoctrinated some part of the left to it already. The Republican Party is already, including Trump, has already accepted so much of the left. It's really not that far to the right anymore. So right. If somebody's a far right extremist, they have to probably have a few MAGA and actually be farther right than the rest of that. Like, it doesn't even really fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, an alt-right really is not same as MAGA, because they've already accepted some of the left, technically.
Right. Right. And that whole alt-right movement is basically dead and gone. I had a show yesterday where we were talking about that. We did a Where Are They Now of the blue checkmark, you know, extreme entertainment oriented live streamers and, you know, Twitter personalities that, you know, like people like Milo and Baked Alaska and, you know, all those people from that era, that, you know, 2015 through 2018 era or whatever, where it was just all about that. And it's like all those people are pretty much off the radar now for the most part. Some got stitched up in things. Some may have, you know, been coerced into changing sides. I'm not going to name any names. I named them yesterday, though, so you can go back and listen to that, folks. But yeah, man, I'm not seeing it. And you make a really good point there. This whole thing, like, I mean, can we really, when people like you and I in our audience are talking about being conservative or independent or whatever, like we are kind of talking pie in the sky, because if you look simply at the way our military is funded, and we'll just use that as one example, because otherwise we have to talk about the whole freaking system. But if you look at the way our military is funded, that is socialism. The way
I was
going to
say, even look at other ways the country is even set up. Besides the military, there is other ways the country is set up. You're totally right.
Yeah,
totally right.
Like, arguably, it is here. This has been a project in Liberty that's been slowly being boiled and corrupted over time, to the point where we don't, just on a day-to-day conversational level, even though people like you and I are like aware of the dialectic and trying to like keep ourselves outside the dialectic so we can see what we're supposed to be arguing about, while we can actually argue about the things that are important to us, you know, at the intellectual level, at that more 5D level. you know, it's, I don't know, man, it just makes communication very difficult because our context is all screwed up, because now we're at a point where it's like, it basically is a socialist country. If you look at the way the finances and other pieces of policy work, no one asked me if I wanted a $1 trillion DOD budget this year. No one asked me if I wanted a pandemic industrial complex. My representatives are keen to text me right now and ask me what I think about stuff. I sent Beto a great reply the other day. I can't say it on air, but it was good. he texts me directly, you know, and I tell him where to put the business. But, you know, none of my representatives texted me and said, hey, what do you think about NAFTA? Or, hey, what do you think about shutting the country down? Or, hey, what do you think about our new NDAA that's going to put billions of dollars into AI that's going to track and trace you and maybe red flag you in the future? What do you think about that, NY Patriot? Did you get these texts?
I've never gotten a question of that, or ever a question for these polls I'm showing on TV too. Who are these people who get questioned for these polls that are telling us what everybody's thinking? Because I've never once been asked.
Not only have I not
been asked if I want to send money to Ukraine.
Yeah, they didn't ask me that. Or if I wanted to send the follow-up money or the follow-up money or the follow-up money or all these Raytheon death machines over there. No, I didn't get that text. You guys are remiss in sending us our text messages. Where's our representative government? What's going on here?
You know, I don't know how truthful it is, but I have heard some people that kind of like get into like politics and history. And I have even heard that going all the way back, kind of, even though he did do some good things, that kind of the way that Abraham Lincoln started to change and try to set up the country was already putting it into that socialist direction. So I don't even, you know, if that's true, I mean, think of how long we've been tiptoeing towards that, if that's true.
Yeah. I know. I think about that too. I've heard similar stories. I think about like the genesis of all this, the nexus of it. And if you really like really tear down the rabbit hole with some people that are super well read, they'll drag you into a cave under a monastery in France with Benjamin Franklin and tell you that, you know, all of the founding fathers were secret society members and that this whole thing was all meant to happen, you know, and that those guys are in on it, you know, and that really bugs a lot of people. That bugs people to hear that. And I'm not arguing for or against it. I'm just saying it's in those rabbit holes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. That's why Hellfire I don't know Club. How truthful it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we're talking, we can't even get our history right for what happened last night. You know, like they feed us a little bit of narrative on last night and we spend all day today trying to figure out, you know, okay, what kind of lies are spitting here? Who made this? What are their influences and biases? What are their agendas? Like, why am I being shown this right now? Is it even real? I mean, and now we got to talk about esoteric stuff that happened 200 years ago. It gets really murky.
Yeah, it's funny how you talk about, like, I even like started questioning, you know, I definitely, for me, just from my point of view, from, you know, having a occultism background, I do find a lot of stuff I think that shows up with the Ukraine, you know, going on with the Ukraine. And I even thought there was stuff with COVID-19. And then you can go back to World War II. I mean, if you get any idea of what Nazism is about, and if you watch any videos of, like, even the stuff that they were doing over there, I mean, they're forming swastikas with torches, and they're walking, you know, these gigantic pagan gods down the road. You know, there was obviously occultism in that. And it's like, you know, I think most people can say they probably don't know the truth about World War II either. You have to start wondering, well, I mean, did it start then, or does it even go back even farther? Is World War I even, like, truthful to how we have taken it? You know, it's just mm-hmm. like, I think, I think a lot of people are noticing that you really have to start questioning, like, what do we really know and what's really correct? Like you were saying, we can't even get yesterday's news correct. How yep. long has that been going on for?
Yeah. And now, you know,
has that really been going on for the last 60 years, 70 years?
Yeah. Yeah. 100, 200, 1,000 years. We don't even know. I mean, it could go all the way back to the, you know, the sacking and burning of the library at Alexandria, you know, which
I mean,
erased all the history.
A lot of, if you were to actually kind of go back to, like, even just the ideas of, I mean, I know this is a little off now, we want to go with newspapers, but with newspapers, a lot of that was actually people, like, making up pamphlets and, like, kind of, like, sending them out or handing them out to speak against the government. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, it was kind of like a way of, like, how we're doing this now, you know, our way of trying to get out maybe news that isn't kind of, you know, what's accepted, but it might be the truth. People used to make things like that to try to, you know, get people wondering what's going on or get things riled up and going. And it's like, they even used propaganda back then in those things, you know what I'm saying? Which eventually developed into, like, newspapers practically. So it's like, even at the inception of, like, trying to get out truth, there's been somebody combating it with propaganda.
Yep. Yep. Yep, that's why, love him or hate him, that man down here south of me, Alex Jones, he does have one of the best website domain names ever. I gotta, you know, regardless of what you think about him, you gotta take your hat off to him for that one. It is the most, one of the most apt domain names in the entire, I guess I gotta say it, information war, because that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
no,
it is.
No, yeah, regardless of what you think of him, that name is, like, synonymous.
It is.
I mean,
it absolutely is. And he picked it over Prison Planet, you know, which is one of the ones he originally had, or one of the ones he toyed with for
that.
A while there, which became what we lived in last year. Year before.
Yeah, are we showing our age with that? Is Prison Planet, like, that old? Because I actually remember that.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I remember having that be the URL they were shouting out, like, in the 2011, 2012 era, something like that, when I was listening frequently.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I gotta remember Prison Planet before InfoWars.
Yeah, yeah, and then we all lived in one. We went from metaphorical to real when COVID came along, and they realized UN Agenda 21. And let's not forget, folks, they're working on Sustainable Development 2030. That's just the next steps, and those steps lead us to a rank technocratic dystopia. All right, we don't want that, so we're gonna sit here and talk about it until it doesn't happen. All right, this is the Brian McLean Show. We'll be right back with NY Patriot on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Fiona is almost a perfect-looking hurricane. It reminds me of when I was a kid. All right, I used to have pinups all over my room, but they were pinups of hurricane, like Cleo and Betsy and Alma, just looking at the eyes of those things. When I was a kid, instead of waiting for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, I was always waiting for WeatherWise magazine and the hurricane issue, because hurricanes were really strong between 1915 and 1965. Then they diminished for a while. Since 95, they've been coming back. Now, we have a system in the Southern Caribbean that is going to become a mean by Saturday, and it's going to be a mean storm. This is going to be a major hurricane, I think, hitting Florida later Monday and Tuesday, then perhaps moving up the East Coast to the United States. Fiona is going to hit Canada on the weekend as the strongest tropical cyclone ever recorded for that part of Canada. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
Yeah, that's right. TNTradio.live. That's where you find us on the web. That's where the archives are. You can also find us on all good podcasting apps, on YouTube, on Gab, on Getter, all over the place. TNT is growing by the second, as is our amazing list of guests who join us regularly here, like my current guest, NY Patriot. Again, if you're just joining us, you can find him. He has a great link tree that will get you to all of he and his colleagues' locations there with the Occult Rejects and NY Patriot and everybody associated. Great link tree, by the way. Good job on that, man. I like the hustle on that link tree. That made me feel deficient in not having a slick looking link tree like you do. So I'm going to start working on that.
Yeah, I actually had that made by a listener or a fan. Actually, I was very lucky.
Oh, that's yeah, nice.
They made it for me. They said they got tired of seeing the 20 links.
Yeah, I'm a perpetrator of overlinking things, man. That's one of the reasons I have a hard time getting my boiler room posts out sometimes, because I don't like putting them out without all the reference stuff on there. And I'm just on the mic so much now. I've got a browser open for each show that I do, and I leave them open. They've got 19 tabs each, and it's just oh my God. So it's a special type of listener that wants to dig through all that stuff after listening to these things. But it also helps me kind of be able to go backward and track some of the stories that we've talked about over the years. Cause once you've been doing this for a while, it's something comes up and you're oh man, I remember talking about that 4 years ago on some random podcast. And I know we had a great set of source information. I wish I could find that. It becomes difficult, when the archive gets super deep.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. So let's see, where were we? Where did we leave off, man? We were on a bender there about exopolitics and the government and how there seems to just be this stitch up happening right now, and the over politicizing of the over fear porning of so-called right wing extremists. I don't know. It's kind of always been the case.
I'm surprised they haven't gotten worse. To be totally honest with you, I really thought that would have been pushed so much more so long ago. You know what I'm saying? And they really didn't. So I was kind of surprised with that. So it really doesn't even make sense to me, because you think you would have pushed this right after he got elected in.
Uh-huh. Funny how a lot of these things
by a lot of people.
Yeah, funny how a lot of these things kind of stopped happening in the Trump era. I mean, where were all the school shootings during the Trump era? Just saying, we went from 8 years of that happening somewhat regularly to 4 years of not that happening. And then now we're back to it, and we're seeing them, somewhat regularly, and that being a talking point in the media all the time. And it's, that's just one example of little campaigns like that, if you will. Some might say, just kind of being conveniently placed when it comes to, the policy that they're looking to push.
I think, everything is about fear. There was a thing I was going to mention before and I forgot and then came back to me. Sorry. But I think a perfect example of that is before we were talking about stuff, even with New York, we had Biden come out and say a few days ago, whatever, pandemic gone.
Yeah.
So everybody's I was even oh, okay. Yeah. So is everything kind of going to go back to normal? As soon as that stopped, next thing on the TV, everybody in Puerto Rico is going to die. Hurricane's coming. Everybody's going to die. I was like, we just left COVID to now just telling us other people somewhere else are going to die. Like, can I get away from death? Can the left stop talking about death? Everything is death. COVID, climate change. Everything is about dying and being scared of it.
Oh. Doom and gloom, my friend. I want my doom and gloom in music that I choose to go listen to exorcise my inner feelings of doom and gloom. I don't want doom and gloom being piped into my eyeballs. You're right. They couldn't even give you a commercial break or a LOL cat or a uplifting story between, hey, the last 2.5 years of pure divisive, utter hell and fear is over now. Here's a cat. Here's a lolcat. No, they got to go straight to, and now an entire country of people might die.
It's just.
COVID's over. Meanwhile, Cuba might die.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, come on. I don't know.
It's
just one thing after the next. I just feel like we're just a constant. I mean, listen, I understand. I mean, who wants to die? But I mean, it's just like, that's like the only thing they have that they work with.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just, I know. Goodness. Think about
they're afraid to die, but then they're real quick to kill a baby.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I think about all the times I got criticized for being a death metal fan and people are like, why would you put that in your head? Why'd you put all this stuff in your head? You guys are singing about, you know, murder and I'm like, it's no different than watching a horror movie. Like, have you ever watched a horror movie? That's what a death metal album is. It's the sonic form of a horror movie or a sci-fi movie or so many different flavors, you know, storytelling, esoterics, all that stuff. Some of it, yes. Some of them, yes, sure. Some evil dudes in there, whatever. Most LARPers, though, most imagery. And it's like, it's all in, it's like D&D for the most part, you know, it's all in good fun and aesthetic for people that are interested in it. And people would always be like, oh, why you put all that stuff in your head? You know, that's so terrible for your psyche. And it's like, well, now that, and largely there are people that are probably or are still probably liberal minded people. And now that's all they focus on. It's like, man, I put death in my metal, not my life. You know, it's like I'm listening to death metal, but you're watching death life over there with that stuff and you're taking it in. And, you know, that's why you're toxifying. So we'll do a little life radio over here. yeah man, so we got a few more minutes here. What can you say to the New Yorkers out there listening who may be thinking like you about maybe I got to get out of here, or what do you say to the young person that wants to go there to go to the art college or something? Like, give us something real, to give us some bite of that new abnormal apple before we get out of here.
Well, I mean, don't college in itself, I just think, is like kind of pretty much of a scam. And if you're going to come to New York for that, you're just going to get ripped off even more and just get put into more debt. Don't bother. People leaving New York, I mean, like I was saying before, and I can even use, unfortunately, my own family as an example. You know, I was thinking about moving to North Carolina. And then what happened before I, you know, started looking into it, my cousin, who was a far left, moved to North Carolina, and my sister, my stepsister, she moved to North Carolina, and she's very extreme too on the left. So just because people are leaving New York, that is a liberal state, does not mean, like I was saying before, you know, I would definitely just not assume just because you're leaving an area that is like that, going to somewhere that you think or that you've heard is okay, is just going to be okay. I would spend some time researching, because they are going other places as well. So like, now I'm going to start looking South Carolina.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, in my opinion, you know, and this is, and I'll try to be real quick, and it was something I was going to bring up before and I left it out, you know, things going on with New York, you know, it's really weird. Like I was saying, the stuff with Eric Adams, you know, and things that just changed, is like, even at the beginning, when people started leaving, a lot of people were starting to say, oh, you're conspiracy theorists, they might start using these buildings like homeless shelters or prisons and stuff. Well, what do you know? Eventually down the road, some of those buildings now are being turned into homeless shelters. So like that were in New York City that expensive companies were in and stuff, you know, like, or businesses were in. So like, you know, as crazy as that sounds, I don't know what to expect of what New York City is going to look like in the next few years. So if you have the means to leave for a better life and for a cheaper one, do it. But just do some research before you do. But I do think, unfortunately, if things will get worse, New York City and the other big liberal ones will be the worst to experience.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you on that. All right, well, we'll keep all you New Yorkers and Californians out there updated, and everybody else that has somewhere they need to flee from. We got your back. We'll see if we can't keep it real for you. That's NY Patriot, everybody. The Occult Rejects. Check them out. Check them out on YouTube. We'll have them back again soon. Thanks, NY Patriot.
Of course.
All right. There we go, everybody. That's your show for today. That's your Brian McLean Show. Stay tuned to today's news talk and have a great weekend.